This week's episode of the Wrong Side of the Pond podcast is brought to you by our friends at Tavor.
You can join Tavor for free and learn about the latest craft beer trends, read humorous beer factoids that can be repurposed at parties to put standard beer nerds to shame.
And best of all, gain daily access to delicious, fresh craft beer you can't find anywhere else. Then have it delivered right to your doorstep. Visit Tavor.com today, enter your email address, and let the exciting world of craft beer into your life.
Even better, as a special listener of the Wrong Side of the Pond podcast, you can get a nice little discount.
Yeah.
$10 off your order of $25 or more. Just make sure you use the code WRONGSIDE10 at checkout.
Welcome in Wrong Side of the Pond. He is DJ Schweitzer.
Hello.
I am Jeremy Lance. How did you enjoy the Super Bowl?
I barely made it up for the end of that game. Just barely.
I was shocked that you actually watched any of it, because you generally don't watch it. You don't, like, make a point to watch it.
No,
it's not exactly appointment television.
No, it's not. You know, I saw a bunch of people yesterday, like, the talk in the morning was like, today's the day where all the soccer hipsters, I think it was his Mind of Abram, I think he tweeted this out, and it was like, the day that all the soccer hipsters declare how hipstery they are by how much they don't care about the NFL. And I replied to him like, is it hipstery of you if you legitimately like don't care about the NFL? This isn't a knock. Like, I don't care if you don't, if you really like the NFL, I don't care in any capacity.
He lives in Mobile where no one likes the NFL.
Yeah.
It's all college football.
Which is hipstery in its own right, maybe? It's hipstery to like soccer, period, in Mobile, Alabama, probably. But that said, I did. I actually went to a Super Bowl party. It was, like, with kids and families, so it tells you what point in the life I'm in. But I actually watched it, and then
is surprising.
I kind of had the feeling that it was going to be a comeback. I don't know why it felt that way, but it just kind of felt that way.
Yeah, I think we all had that sinking feeling of, like, hey, Atlanta, I don't think you can do this. I don't think you can close this deal.
Was this the football equivalent of too soon?
This was the football equivalent of coffees for closers.
Yeah, well, that's entirely true as well. I don't know. It seemed like everyone was universally against New England. And
That's kind of how
for whatever reason, it kind of made me want them to win, too.
It's not because Harry Kane's a huge Tom Brady sycophant.
I didn't actually see that picture until you showed it to me about 20 minutes
before. Yeah, because we're talking about the fact that there's all these British, like, sports stars and celebrities that are huge Patriots fans, which is mildly ironic given the nickname of the team. Patriots, you know, the group of people that basically told the British to go back to their country, and they're not paying their taxes, and the Queen can shove it.
Yeah, that did actually happen.
So a team name, based on that, that's the team that, like,
That's who you're going to root for.
Like, I don't know about you, but, like, I don't know if I would root for a team that their cartoon, like, mascot is depicting a guy that, like, actively tried to kill my ancestors.
That's a good point.
But I don't, hey, you know, to each their own.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised you watched it. I remember just being blown away, because you're, like, one of the first, like, people I know, like, that I've run into that, like, legitimately doesn't care about the NFL.
Yeah, I mean,
but he legitimately does.
I don't. I have no, I mean, I like the Bengals.
I remember
my hometown team.
The first year we did this podcast, we record on a Monday. We came to record, and I was like, hey, did you watch the game? You're like, no, I went skiing. I was like, what?
Yeah. I would have gone skiing had one of my friends not had a baby like the day before. So that really nixed everything. I was going to try to even take my daughter skiing for the first time, but
slopes are pretty clear on Super Bowl Sunday.
It's one of the best days to go. If you're a Midwestern skier, pretty much, I'm guessing it's the same anywhere across the country, but yeah, it's no knock against the NFL. It's just not my cup of tea. And whether that makes me a hipster or not, it's just, I don't know. But it was fun. I enjoyed watching the Super Bowl last night.
Did you have a commercial you liked?
You got to like all the pro-immigrant ones, right? Like that was
That
was the narrative last night.
That's what they were going for there.
Yeah.
Those were good. Those were well done.
I especially liked your tweet
about
the Budweiser one, where your German immigrant family, your grandfather,
yeah.
I believe.
Great-grandfather. Well, I mean, yeah. They're all German and, you know.
In St. Louis.
In St. Louis, where, you know. Augustus Busch, you know, and came and made himself home after leaving Germany.
Met Mr. Anheuser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At a bar. That seemed legit.
Yeah, that's exactly how it all went down. Especially the hand-drawn beer bottle.
Yeah, we're going to drink this one. I already have all the branding figured out.
Yeah, that said, you did go on to explain that your German immigrant great-grandfather was actually a massive racist.
Yeah, so don't get too excited about that story of, you know, German immigrants coming to St. Louis, because that's it's kind of how that those pack of scoundrels ran.
Yeah.
Those were mostly my family, apparently.
It's weird how there was just this racist tendency for some of the German lines from back then.
That
I'm saying
echoes throughout history.
Saying this, by the way, that I am a nearly 100% German blood, so I'm allowed to call my own people out, right?
A little bit. Yeah, you are. Schweitzers. I got the Zimmerscheidt family.
Ooh, man, that's a great German name there. But no, it was, I had an enjoyable time watching it. Really loved watching everyone get really upset that the Patriots won.
I like how there's a boycott against Budweiser. I've been doing that for years. I didn't know you had to have a political reason to do it. Their beer is not good.
Yeah, there is that.
Their product is trash and I hate St. Louis.
I'll say this much. I enjoyed that commercial much more this year than their really smarmy... if you enjoy craft beers,
suck it, hipsters.
Yeah,
here's large fonts.
Do you like to taste things that taste different than the same thing that everyone's drank for 30 years? I like that they went away from that.
Yeah,
but otherwise, a lot of the commercials leak out now,
right? Ahead of time, so it's like a week beforehand.
It doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah, there wasn't too many that I really cared about. You big Gaga fan? Did you enjoy that performance?
Her
pretending to jump into the stadium?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of looked like someone
on guide wires that would have snapped her hip had she actually jumped from the...
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It was it was an interesting performance. Everyone was talking about it was one of the greatest Super Bowl halftime performances.
It was pretty good. And I think there was a lot of people worried that it was going to be a little too... political and preachy, and then when it wasn't, you're like, oh,
it's disappointing.
That's the ultimate, she shocked us all by not doing what we expected her to do.
Oh, Lady Gaga always keeping us on our toes.
When we zag.
Do you think that any soccer event would benefit from a halftime show like that?
Would
the World Cup final be better with a halftime show?
I mean, we had the opening ceremony, which I believe last time was almost exclusively Pitbull.
Yeah.
And that was terrible.
He's known as a Brazilian singer.
Right.
Of course, yeah.
It's Mr. International.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I have thought about that. Because, you know, a lot of people, I saw a lot of people on Twitter, from, the UK that I follow, that are watching the game. It's you know, I wonder if, would the FA Cup final benefit from a halftime concert?
Yeah. Or, you know who could really benefit from it would be something like the League Cup final.
Right.
You know,
Capital One?
Yeah, Capital One Cup, whatever it's called now, the EFL Cup. It's just one of those peculiarities that's just so different about American sports. We have to have that halftime show thing. And it makes you wonder, would that be beneficial for anyone else?
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea. Why not do it?
Well, the other thing is that halftime in soccer games is one of the only times you get commercials in. So I don't know that you could actually devote 10 minutes of a halftime of a 15-minute halftime.
Well, you just elongate the halftime. That's what they have to do for the Super Bowl. They just stretch it out.
Soccer purists always love things like that.
They love when you tinker with the. The tight parameters of soccer.
That's right.
Jumping back into actual soccer, though. And by the way, quickly, you mentioned Capital One Cup or whatever it's called. Did you see what the Premier League's going to be next year?
No, what?
Sponsored by Cadbury.
No.
Yeah.
The Cadbury Premier League?
There was a promotional photo with a couple of the guys holding this giant Cadbury soccer ball egg.
Stop! I thought they ditched the branding.
Yeah, no, just temporarily.
Because they were just waiting for a fatter check.
Yeah, they were just between deals. It's not like they were trying to be like, no, we're not about that. $1 billion that we're gonna get.
Oh well, it's not like I didn't need another reason to inhale Cadbury eggs at Easter time.
Yeah, now they're gonna. You know, maybe they'll have some Wayne Rooney shaped ones.
And
Martin Skrtel kind of has a. a head shaped like a Cadbury egg.
Shame he's not in the league anymore.
That sucks. That's promotion and like just writes itself there.
Hopefully Vince and company keeps on with it then.
We do have a lot of Premier League to talk about, as there were two match days, essentially. We had Tuesday slash, I think there was one or two on Wednesday, and then
we are not going to do all the games.
No, that would be horrible.
No. So we'll highlight a few in both places. The midweek we could summarize pretty easily in that everyone treated it like a midweek game.
Which is that everybody underperformed.
Yes. So we pretty much covered the middle.
Unless you're Watford, it was the match of the season.
Yeah.
Everyone else blew it.
Yeah. But before we get into that
fantasy time,
yeah, let's do that real
quick. Lukaku, captain.
Yeah. Worked out pretty well for you, buddy.
42 points.
Yeah. That was enormous. Yeah. He scored 21 points. We had him captain 42. That was enough. You and I were flirting in the same range in the table.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. We were right around the same area last time we recorded. This time, you jumped quite a bit.
Oh, did I?
15 places up to 38th in the table. Yes. Now solidly onto page one. I somehow fell four places. I did not have Lukaku. That's probably why. 61st place for me. Third show in a row now. Leader, Tequila and Nachos FC by Aaron Maddie. So keep that streak alive, sir. There's your fantasy update. Let's get into the weekend action because that's where things interesting happened.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of things happened. Let's talk about what's going on at the tippity-tip-top of the table.
You feel pretty good about that, yeah?
Chelsea have extended their lead over that brutal stretch of matches for them to 9 points.
Came out of the backside of that all right.
Yeah, remember we were talking about this last week. You know, we recorded on a Monday night right before that Liverpool match. And I said, like, you know, hey, if things just go really bad, I mean, their lead could be all the way down to 2 points.
It's not.
It's not.
Yeah, it's not longer.
Now, so they play Liverpool on Tuesday. They made it out alive. I mean, it was at Anfield. The David Luiz free kick was money.
Yeah.
Costa could have won it, but he completely just crapped the bet on that penalty.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, I was like, man, that sounds – I'll take that point. I'll take that point. Having seen what Liverpool did in the weekend, I'm like – oh, that draw doesn't look that hot anymore.
No.
Like we kind of squandered some points there.
No, really didn't exactly pan out. But you didn't have to worry about it all because everyone else crept the bed behind you for the most part. Let's talk real quickly about Chelsea, though, with this 3-1 win over top of Arsenal.
Mm.
Extending that lead.
A comfortable 3-1 win. Like a shockingly comfortable
like
win.
Like they were playing a mid-table team. Like it was
– I felt more – like on the edge of my seat when we played a Hull a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just geeked out a 2-0 win.
It just really didn't look like a team that's anywhere near the top portion of the table, let alone a team that's supposedly challenging for the title. And I think this has pushed them to a point. There's no way that they're catching up with Chelsea now.
No, we'll get in that. So 12 points. They're 12 points off.
Yeah. I mean, that's a gargantuan gap.
Would you say like 10 or more out? Probably rationally not in the picture anymore.
Well, I mean, for me, Spurs are sitting 9 behind, so
I feel like 9 is attainable because that's an even, you know, that's a clean three match day difference.
Here's the difference. I think Spurs already played Chelsea twice. They've picked all the points off them they're going to get. It's gone well for us, obviously, this year. But it's hard to imagine a scenario where Chelsea drop 3 games worth of points to allow Spurs to make up that gap. And not only that, but Spurs making up that gap. You know what I mean? Like, they have to win on all 3 of those occasions and not drop points when Chelsea win.
And so not drawing with Bournemouth or whatever that was.
Yeah, those type of things. Yeah, and those just – that's the type of results.
Was it West Brom?
It was West Brom. Oh. Yeah, it was West Brom.
Not much better.
Really atrocious. If you spent any time watching Tottenham West Brom, I applaud you. If you enjoyed it, you're lying. You must have been hammered drunk or something. It was an awful game. But I can't imagine Spurs not dropping any of those crucial points, at least when you're looking at head-to-head type matches. So I think barring disaster – and look, this league has thrown disasters at us left and right of late.
Sure has.
So this is just definitely a possibility.
Season currently. It's been an unmitigated disaster.
But I think there's no one in the league that's playing well enough right now to catch Chelsea. Like, it's just – it seems improbable.
So Chelsea have, I would say, three matches that are going to be a tough sledding.
Okay.
They have to go to Old Trafford.
Mm-hmm.
They host City. And then you may just think this is me just being paranoid and just the home fan just being afraid of everything. They go to West Ham on like a Monday night, which weeknights, you, as you said, like don't always go as well, underperform a lot of times. And West Ham has kind of been a banana peel for us the past couple of years. We've played down to their level a lot.
Yeah, you're right. I do think that's a ridiculous thing for you to be
saying. Oh, come on.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems pretty unlikely.
But yeah, I mean, so they have that. That's kind of the three matches I see where it's like, ooh, that could be some trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't envision a scenario where you guys have.
Okay. Well, I hope you're right.
Yeah.
But I'm going to obviously live with a little bit of cautious optimism.
Fair.
We go back to that Arsenal match, though, real quick. We have to touch on Eden Hazard murdering two Arsenal players in the course of the match.
Yeah.
Really just faked Mustafi into oblivion.
Yes.
At one point. And like, then, was literally 5 feet away from the guy.
Yeah, and just made him fall. I'm pretty sure he got picked off by a sniper from the stands.
Yeah, he took out.
And then Coughlin just shrugged the guy off.
Shrugged him off, and then Coughlin just, in a last-ditch effort, threw his body in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you do make contact, like, pretty sure kicking at a guy in his chest while you jump in the air is probably not gonna pass for a legal tackle.
No, probably would not. A lot was made like, oh, this could be a potential goal of the year candidate. I think it will be probably in the final running as far as goals considered.
It was the run-up was great.
And look, I'm not taking anything away from the goal, but it's not one of those goals where you're like, wow, he just blew my mind with an insane amount of skill. It was more one of those like, wow, that little guy just freaking bossed everyone.
Yeah,
like, wow. He just bulldozed Arsenal, his way through.
Arsenal just burned to the ground.
Right? Yeah, he literally did. It was like he crucified someone on live television.
I mean, Petr Cech didn't recover from it. Then he literally just gave the ball away to Cesc Fabregas later.
Broken man. Did it make you feel better about Cesc Fabregas that he did not celebrate that goal?
I mean, I knew. I guess I should have known he wasn't going to celebrate the goal.
Yeah.
Part of me wanted him to like forget. Yeah, kind of get lost in the moment
just for a minute.
Like if that was the game winner, like 89th minute, you know, he'd get lost in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, and you just kind of like
it's a shame.
Woo.
You kind of want that dagger just a little bit.
I mean, in perfect world, he kisses the badge.
Oh man, that did not happen.
No. Let's talk though. Arsenal, Liverpool, the two sides of the quote unquote contenders. That did not have a great week.
Yeah.
We mentioned Arsenal and Liverpool both lose, both dropping points to Chelsea. Arsenal lose, Liverpool get the draw at home. Arsenal on Tuesday lost to Watford.
Yeah.
Watford.
Watford played really well.
Hey, how about that?
Still Watford.
Still very much Watford.
The team whose nickname is the Hornets, and yet their Hornet mascot inexplicably looks a little bit like a panda. Yellow and black panda. Yeah. But yeah, you shouldn't be losing that type of a game.
No.
You're a title contender. And then on top of that, going into this game and getting absolutely like washed out by a Chelsea side that looked superior in every sense. The calls for Wenger out, I know we talk about this every once in a while,
though, because like, he technically has not even been on the touchline for these two matches.
Yeah.
I mean, how much credit, how much blame does he get on these two losses since he's not the guy right there?
Well, one, can we talk for a minute about how he had to sit amongst the supporters? And if you were a Chelsea fan, which of course you are, and you were sitting, I don't know, within an earshot of Wenger, how much shit would you be talking to him throughout the course of that game?
I would probably have to take the next day off of work. Like, yeah, my voice is gone.
That would be an email, by the way. Your
might be email. No voice. Not coming in.
Can't make it in. Literally, Arsene Wenger stole it from me at the game. I think as far as blame goes, how could he not pick any of it? He had an assistant coach there, so he could talk to people down on the bench the whole time. Anyway,
he's with them during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So all those strategizing picking the team.
Probably making the subs.
Yeah.
How much direction do you see him actually giving during the games?
Just generally to his coat zipper.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's all directed right there. So, I don't know. I mean, it seems a really justifiable answer right now for an Arsenal team that literally every single year, it's this time of year. It's like,
yeah.
You could go back to the last 3 seasons of our podcast, and we'd be talking probably on the 26th episode about Arsenal crapping the bed the January time frame.
It can't just be coincidence. There has to be something that creates some kind of fallout within the club that at this point every year, things just hit the skids. Is it just the way he operates and just things just at this point? This is when officially people tune out. This is when, it's right after the transfer window and people are like, oh, okay, so we're not getting any reinforcements. So F this, we're not even trying to eventually.
I don't know.
Like, what is it? What does it come down to?
It doesn't seem like every year that it's the same reason, right? Like some years it's injuries. Other years it's they've had like a series of unfortunate mistakes. Other years it's been a combination of those things. It seems like every year there's something. And how much they can control of that is, injuries are injuries. Could you have trained better? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you can make a lot of things, but the fact of the matter is that for the last decade plus, this exact same thing has happened to Arsenal in a way that for a club that annually at least claims to have title aspirations, this can't be what happens. Like, if Manchester United finished fourth 10 years in a row, and I know that Arsenal haven't exactly finished fourth 10 years in a row, but it's not too far off that, they would fire their manager. If Chelsea did that for a half year, they'd fire their manager. These are the things that happen at big clubs. I know that Wenger had like the undefeated team a while ago, and he won the Premier League title like a decade ago.
I was going to say, everything you mentioned, it was like 13 years
ago. Yeah, but
it's 2004.
Literally. I mean, it's like Jim Boeheim from Syracuse. Like,
yeah.
Living on the path still.
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing this? Game seems to have passed him by. And I think, not to say that it's an easy task, but I think a younger, more energetic manager might be able to inject some fresh thought into that team. And the problem is for Arsenal is they've waited so long that all these other good managers, younger managers, are mostly tied up.
I saw some Twitter, Mensa member, tweet out something to the effect of, oh, don't worry. Right when we'll get rid of Wenger right at the time that Klopp will be back on the market. What?
So in another couple of years, probably?
But first of all, it's like, so wait a minute. So if you're thinking that soon, that would mean that Klopp completely bombs out with Liverpool.
Right.
So then why would he be the answer for you?
Yeah.
The guy that, according to your theory, has not been successful in Premier League, why would that be the guy you would go to?
Mensa.
Mensa,
definitely. It's a conundrum. Every team kind of goes through this type of situation. And look, I don't know why Arsenal fans aren't necessarily talking about this more. Maybe they are and I don't pay enough attention to them. But it seems to be one of those situations like Wenger is an institution at Arsenal, much in the way that Sir Alex was at Manchester United. Not obviously
minus
the same
success,
right? But he's been around forever. The club is wrapped around his image and the way that he's constructed it, essentially. They could very, very, very easily have a fallout of Manchester United proportions when he leaves.
Sure.
So if he leaves, it's not exactly a guarantee that things are automatically going to improve and get better. It could very well. Maybe you get a Thomas Tuchel in. Maybe you get a,
Simeone?
Yeah, Diego Simeone.
Like, I think that would be an amazing
thing. It would be, but does he seem like an Arsenal manager necessarily? Like, if they're trying to get another Wenger in.
You know. Don't get another Wenger in. Maybe that needs to be the thing. Maybe it needs to be not getting another banger.
But I don't disagree. Change
your culture.
But don't you see, if they finally make the change, can't you see them making the folly of going for someone who's too much like banger?
You know what, though? For a team that, from manager to front office, has been all about not gambling and going big on new ideas, go big on a new idea.
I mean, it would...
Why not?
Be wise, for sure. And look...
Go Lady Gaga on the situation. Everyone's going to expect you to pick someone just like Banger. Do the exact opposite.
I will say, like, there are managers that you can unearth that aren't necessarily the biggest names that can do well for you. When Pochettino is named to Spurs, you know, there was talk of, like, Carlo Ancelotti, potentially. Yeah. And, you know, like... Those are the type of names you hope to get linked to, but maybe it would work out better to not be linked to that type of name. So
who knows? Maybe Jose will be available at the time.
He's got to do the, you know, the full London.
He's got to do the run through the full circuit
eventually.
Get him all the big clubs.
Yeah. So
his career at Liverpool.
Speaking of Liverpool, let's
right.
talk quickly about them also not having a good go at the moment.
They at least got a point.
They did get a point
from the league leaders.
Hey.
They then followed that performance up by losing 2-0 to Hull City.
Hull City.
They had 22 shots in this match, Liverpool. So it was just one of those things where it's like, the chances were there.
Mm-hmm.
You had Hull City pretty much pegged back for almost the lion's share of the match.
Yeah.
But they just couldn't get anything.
Well,
couldn't
I mean,
get anything to save their life.
They did salvage that point, you know, against Chelsea, and, you know, credit to them. It's something that shows well for them when you look at it at the end of the season. But they've also gone five matches in the Premier League without a win.
That's not good.
0-2-3 during that time frame. They're hitting a little bit of a purple patch at the moment, I would imagine. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not going well for them at the moment, and you have to wonder.
Well, and here's the thing. Their front three right now is at full strength. They have their guys back.
Mm-hmm.
They got Mane, Firmino, Coutinho right up there across the top. Those guys are great players, mm-hmm. and when they are clicking, it is good, but that hasn't consistently happened enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying this about Liverpool for, I think, 2 years now. They need a real, true first-team traditional striker.
Mm-hmm.
Up top. They don't have that.
No, they really
don't. They had a lot of passes. They had a lot of opportunities created, but they have not. They couldn't cash in. They had 22 shots that were worthless.
Yeah. I mean, everyone wants Daniel Sturridge to be that player. He just can't stay fit enough to do
made
it.
Made out of glass.
Mane is not that type of striker.
No.
He's not, you know, he's a good forward. He's better from a wide position.
Yep.
He'd benefit from having a dominant striker to distract attention away from him and give him a little bit more room to operate. And then, you know, you look at some of the other options they have available to him, and it's not necessarily anything that's, you know, Origi, good player, but he's not a man to lead the line.
And, yeah, I feel like he's got another guy, though, that's kind of a little better out wide.
Yeah. So they do need that. And obviously they're not going to do that in January. Klopp's going to live through the end of the season, regardless of how things go from the rest of the year goes in the table. But
sure, does Klopp have to go get?
I think he's going to have
go get himself a nice German striker, a nice sturdy.
I don't know who he gets though. You know what I mean? Like, who would move from Germany to Liverpool right now? I guess, you know, the millions of dollars dangling in front of you might be enough to convince you. But
yeah,
I don't know. I just don't know who you would get.
I mean, there's a lot of talk that Mueller is looking to possibly move on.
Maybe that would be something you could do.
I know Chelsea was kicking the tires apparently on that as a possibility if the Costa thing completely went nuclear.
But Mueller is another one of those guys that isn't necessarily your traditional nine, a guy who's just going to bag endless goals for you. In that
but compared to what they have on right now, the cachet he is.
He would be a fabulous pickup, don't get me wrong.
I don't know. Think about this. If Liverpool had Giroud, how much better would Liverpool be?
Yeah, I mean,
putting Giroud up top there.
He would – create far more opportunities for
right.
the players around him. Yeah, I mean, it's clearly the missing piece of the puzzle for them. The other portion of this that we can't really ignore, and this is a bit of Klopp's doing. This year, everyone's raved, oh, they've got Klopp legs, they've got their fitness together, they're much more fit side than they were the year previous. Or they were prepared for the first half of the season, and he's run them into the floor now.
Yeah, that could definitely be it, especially with the fact that they are on this five-match skid there in the league.
So there's a lot going on there.
They're 13 off of Chelsea, by the way, at this point. So out. I guess if Arsenal's out at 12, they're definitely out at 13.
Right? Yeah, I think, as I said earlier, even Spurs at 9 are pretty much out of the
hole. All right. Let's kind of just whip around some of the other big teams over the weekend. We'll start with City looking decent this week.
Not too bad.
They had to come back against Swansea and grab a goal at the death.
Yeah.
On the weekend, that was...
So they looked really good for a while, like the first 30 minutes of the game. Then they like fell asleep for roughly 60 minutes. Swansea, to their credit, I have this written down here, that they continue to look better under Paul Clement. They look far more defensively organized, seem to have an idea of what they're doing going forward a little bit more, those types of things.
I mean, three matches in a row, two league matches in a row. They're looking better.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're not making the Bravo has not been trash fire the last couple.
Well, he didn't play in this game, so that makes all the difference.
That helps.
Yeah,
but against West Ham earlier in the week, he was looking okay. I don't know. I mean, again, they're kind of right there with Tottenham. They're, I think, 10 points back.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely still have a ton of room to make up if they want to get back legitimately into the title fight.
To be fair, Conte did say this is the team he fears the most in the run-in of the season.
Well, and he has to play them one more time.
That's very true.
He hosts them. He's at home, though.
Can we talk for a minute, though, about Gabriel Jesus?
Like, yeah.
How good he has been since coming on for them. January signing, guy that they've been in the hunt for a while.
Right.
Really,
the only like big name that moved into the Premier League.
He's proving to be the biggest signing of the Premier League January window at this point. Two goals in this match. The savior one at the end made every writer, every newspaper, editor, headline way easier so that he
did. Did you see me chastise those people?
Yeah, I did as well.
I mean, like, we're all doing it. Like, I don't know. I was in a mood of, hey, let's get some original thought going this weekend. Mm-hmm. I spent most of the Super Bowl tweeting out screen caps of four different Twitter accounts making the same cheap joke.
Yeah.
And just calling them all biters.
Yeah. It's easy to go for those easy little favorites.
Yeah. Like, hey, we got it. Like, we were all thinking it.
Yep.
We don't all need to say it.
You don't need to write that City saved by Jesus title. Like, it just doesn't need to be that headline. But City are looking better. Now have a secondary option up top. Hey, maybe Liverpool's answer up top, buying away Aguero.
I just saw a rumor that Chelsea was going to be in on Aguero if Costa leaves.
I mean, that seems like a pretty easy replacement there. Let's quickly talk about my Spurs, though. Getting that 1-0 win over Burrow. I have written down here, blah, but up to second.
Up to second.
Yeah.
Second place.
Feel pretty good about that.
It's just, you know, guys were in second place going into the last week last year. And kind of
crap the bed.
Remember how that went.
Yeah. That really embarrassing loss to the already relegated team. Picking up points.
Yeah. Midweek, you picked up only 1 point. I think you guys were still reeling from the paces that Wickham put you through.
Yeah, 0-0 with Sunderland. Not exactly anything to write home about. This match, kind of the same way. It's the typical. I feel like I say this every freaking week about Tottenham. They dominate possession literally against everyone. Like, there aren't teams that they don't dominate possession against anymore, really. Stymied by a team that's sitting in and defending well. So Burrow did really well to hold Spurs at bay as long as they did.
Yeah, and then, you know, you look at what Sunderland having the really boring match with you guys on Tuesday, and then they were like insane against Crystal Palace on the weekend.
Dropping a four spot in the first
good
half.
Night.
At Palace, mind you.
Yeah.
Palace, I have written down here.
Big Sam going down.
Yeah. They're in a world of hurt.
We have a lot of let's take a minute to just look at that actually right now before we move on. Because there's not a whole lot else to talk about. Everton had a decent week. The Everton United weeks were what they were. Again, they don't really move from where they're at. They're still in sixth and seventh place. But let's take it at the bottom.
Yeah.
Sunderland get big win over Crystal Palace. That's not enough to really change anything, as they are still in 20th. Level on points with Crystal Palace. Hull City, despite their win against Liverpool, are also currently in the drop zone, 20 points. And then just above them, 1 point above them, Swansea. So, hey, they're not in the relegation zone. They're out of it.
Yeah.
Borough, who you guys just struggled against. And then in 16th place, the champions of England.
How many points against the relegation zone?
1 point away is Leicester City.
So I saw this over
21
the weekend.
Points. Hull is at 20.
They would be the first champion since the 1930s to get relegated if that happens. Think about this 2 year stretch though. They pull off literally one of the greatest escapes in Premier League relegation avoidance history, right? Had to win an insane number of points from the final few weeks of the season.
That is the roller coaster of a lifetime.
The following year, they literally blow everyone's socks off and win the league in the most unprecedented fashion of all time.
Yeah.
Like, no one has ever won anything and been a bigger underdog, like, ever. Then this season, they're completely the same team that they were the first half of two seasons ago.
Yeah.
Where they're terrible. There aren't even signs that this side's that good. They got demoralized by a United side that aren't exactly like a high-flying...
I mean, you look at like a Jamie Vardy right now. Remember, he was rumored in the summer to possibly be going to Arsenal. This guy, I don't even think Stoke would make a bid for him right now.
No. No.
Like, they would be like, nah, we're trying to score goals. No. Why would we want that
guy? We would not want anyone that's not good at that. Yeah, Jamie Vardy turned down a deal from Arsenal, by the way.
Yeah. He'll be playing at Burnley next year.
Riyad Mahrez, you're pretty much just booking your trip back to France after the season, right? Like, that's what's going to happen. Yeah, get out while you can, because I'm going to call it now.
Get out.
I'm going to call it now. I feel confident about it. They're going to get relegated.
I mean,
it's going to happen.
Now, hold on. They're going to get relegated. How far do they go in Champions League? Do they get past the round of 16? Because just even getting to the quarterfinals.
My wife and I joked about this. I could completely see them just getting on a heater in Europe and winning the damn thing.
Winning, that'd be crazy.
It's really improbable, right? Like, the likelihood of them getting by, like...
Like, they would have to, like, get...
They've got a good draw for the first round.
Right. They would have to continue to get good draws to where, like, the bigger clubs beat up each other.
Mm-hmm.
To where, like, when they finally reach the final, you know, they're in, like, a final against, like, City or something like that.
Yeah. Like, someone that's beatable.
Like, yeah, like, okay, we know this. We know how to play these guys.
Right.
Like, we already beat them once in the season.
This is familiar territory.
We already beat them this season.
I already know how to do this. Is it likely that that will happen? No. But could it happen with... absolutely. And I don't know that there's any sort of precedent about someone playing in the Champions League, but also being in the second division within their own country at the same time. Because that's what will happen. They'll automatically qualify as a winner now.
Right.
We had
Wigan as FA Cup champions playing in Europa as a championship side. That was the closest we got.
A couple of years ago, we had Birmingham City doing the same thing after they won the FA Cup. So
you get that. That's about it.
Yeah. Hey, let's just say I'm rooting for that scenario. Like, it'd be incredible.
What
I'd love for it to pull through.
All right. Let's go stateside.
Okay.
USA played a game.
They did.
In Chattanooga, the Noog, as probably nobody calls it.
You did.
I just did.
It's a thing now.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, I'm sure, like, at one point in time, people probably called it that. Like, people used to call this the Natty.
Yeah.
There was, if you're not from here, there was even a trash PSA with a slogan, "Don't trash the Natty."
Yeah.
Remember that?
I think it still exists. There's, like, an actual mascot character.
Oh, great.
It's got, like, trash for hair or something. But now, couldn't you see... Would they call people from Chattanooga the Noogers?
The Noogs?
The Noogs? It's bad all around. But very cool to see Chattanooga getting a game. I think the first ever U.S. Men's National Team game to be played in Chattanooga.
It's been a while since the U.S. Men's National Team played at a Division I FCS football stadium.
Yeah.
As you can see from the camera angles, that those create their own little quirks.
Yeah, they do. Can we just do the obligatory, there were football lines on the field?
There were football lines on the field. They tried to make them as green as they could.
They
totally still saw them.
Didn't do a very good job of that. As far as the game itself, hey, how about that Jordan Morris goal? The build-up was nice.
Yeah. Hey, how about that? I mean, these are January friendlies, and there's no other friendly. I mean, there's nothing lesser than a January friendly when it comes to reading into stuff.
I did see Chad Hollingsworth say, our good buddy from Scratching the Pitch, mention, should we be getting pretty excited about the U.S. national team beating basically a Jamaica USL All-Star team?
Pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
With a U.S. side that was essentially MLS All-Stars.
Yeah. I'm not going to take too much from that.
No.
And that's the thing. I do come away from this game thinking, like, wow, we're heading in the right direction now. You know, like...
But are we, though? But those guys
are heading in the right direction. But that's what I'm saying. Like, what is the direction that we're heading?
Like, okay, but look at the lineup. How many of those people that walked onto that field... are even going to factor in to the Hex? So Bradley,
Fellheiber, I think is going to be. Sure. I think he'd be back in it.
Okay.
Did Question playing this game? I can't remember.
He played at one of them.
He'll be in camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think we saw Jordan Morris.
Sure.
Right. Like, outside of that, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if people made it in, but I see your point. I totally see your point.
Like, it just doesn't tell us anything.
No.
Like, goalkeeper situation. I mean, we had... Who freaking started in this match?
I'm not even sure.
Was it, like, Robles or whatever?
Yeah, I think it was.
What is he, like, fifth on the depth chart?
Maybe sixth.
Who would you say the depth chart is right now? Like, is Guzan Howard is, like, a 1-2. Yeah. Like, fluctuates constantly.
Howard's beard might be third on its own.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say third on the depth chart is probably that Horvath kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Johnson?
I don't know. He's been...
Bill Hamid?
Neither of those dudes got a sniff in years.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the point we've come to. Remember, this is the position that we used to be like, well, hey, at least we've got a bunch of world-class options.
But we got three decent options right now.
Yeah, it's a weird position that we're in right now. And I think the whole point of this is like, let's just not put a whole lot of stock in what we saw happen in January.
Because I would say after Guzan, Howard, and Horvath, then it's just like a litany of like, who's hot in the MLS right now?
Yeah, who's feeling it right now?
Who's tearing up the MLS?
Yeah. So we did get that in. Don't put a whole lot of weight in anything that went down in any of this, though. I mean, it's January friendlies. Wait until the next camp. That's going to tell you a lot more about the team that's going to be fighting the U.S. in the World Cup.
All right, that was negative. Let's talk positive. It was a great crowd in Chattanooga.
That it was.
This is really cool, actually. I mean, despite the fact of the venue having its quirks, you know, we see MLS sides host, you know, kind of be the facilitator for U.S. men's national team matches all the time. USL sides have also gotten into the mix a little bit. This was an NPSL side essentially facilitating this match.
And they did.
This was at the home of an NPSL team. This is Chattanooga FC of the NPSL play there, their people, their front office were the ones that helped facilitate this entire event.
Sniffing out.
Pretty cool. I mean, hey, you know what? Pretty cool. As a fellow NPSLer,
hey, pretty awesome. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. So let's move on from the national team.
Okay. Let's talk domestic news. Okay. So the bids are in.
Yeah.
That you guys happened. Got your bid in?
We did. I, of course.
Flew it up? Not by you.
I did not do that, no. We did fly it up there.
Yeah.
Had someone hand deliver it to the office. We didn't get in on the cacophony
Cool pictures of, here's us and Abbott. We totally thought Garber was going to be here, but I guess Abbott will do.
I mean, we knew Garber wasn't going to be there, so.
Right, because you like read a calendar and.
Realized where he might be.
News clippings said he wasn't going to be there.
Yeah. It was really interesting. This is the thing that I thought was really interesting about all of this. And yeah, I obviously have some insider knowledge and all these kind of things. And there's only so much that I can or can't say due to the nature of my job. But
right.
What I thought was really interesting, and I said this to a lot of people over the course of the week and the last few weeks, is like I a little bit miss being independent during this time because it's just so much stuff going on, and like,
oh, yeah.
I have opinions on all of it. And because I have like stake in the game, I kind of have to sit here and hold my tongue
through a lot of things. We have 12 cities. I think nine of which are our teams
mm-hmm.
that are aspiring to be MLS.
Yeah,
and this is the first time we've had something like this before.
Yeah, like. It's usually one or two cities like bidding up against one another.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is literally a room full of cities like trying to figure out who's going to jostle in for four spots. And what I thought was super cool about all this was watching how all these different bid cities behaved throughout the process. So I just wrote down like some just like generalized notes.
Okay.
Phoenix, late to toss their name into the hat, showed up really cool like stadium renderings and
yeah.
You know, it's a city that I kind of thought, like, oh, it was weird that they weren't in that initial 10. And
I feel like we all missed out on that photo op of Diplo handing over the whole presentation.
Did
over
he
to,
deliver
to Abbott? No, he didn't.
I'm
saying we missed that. Like, that was an opportunity. If I'm sitting there in the Phoenix Rising front office, I say, hey, you know who we need to have to, you know, drop this off? Is that Diplo guy?
Well, the funny thing is, since they've rebranded, he's not featured near as heavily as he had beforehand.
That's a mistake.
Mm.
Isn't there like another celebrity
it's like
also involved?
Pete Wentz or something like that.
Oh, definitely don't involve that guy.
Yeah.
Diplo is at least somewhat respectable. Pete Wentz?
I don't know.
First of all, that guy's a douche and from Chicago, so he has no ties to the city.
How about that? Indianapolis, also the other team late to jump into the running, not in the initial 10. I think we all kind of thought Indy was out of the running. Like a couple of years ago, they were one of those teams that everyone was like, man, that's the next MLS city. Like they've got this great crowd thing going, which by the way, they still have.
I'm going to say something that may, let me preface this. We love Peter Wilt.
Yeah.
But I think when Peter Wilt was there, Peter Wilt is not at the moment
mm-hmm.
all about that MLS.
Yeah.
So I think while he was kind of running shop there, I think at the grand scheme of things, he was not really looking to move to MLS.
Sure.
He was looking to make
NASL
big through indie growth.
Right.
You know, getting their own stadium, all that stuff
mm-hmm.
that they worked on. Obviously, he's not there anymore. He's helping launch NASL clubs all throughout the U.S. Him and Demba Ba just, mm-hmm. you know, creating soccer. I don't know. I mean, I think maybe in the front office attitude has changed, obviously, about how they feel about MLS because they're in the mix now, and it'll be interesting. Obviously, they're definitely a side that will need to go out and grab more investors.
Yep.
Similar to North Carolina FC, they're mm-hmm. definitely also one that has to kind of go out and build up that money base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Curious in that respect, they still have a stadium issue that they need to deal with. That stadium never made it out of committee when it actually went to the
right.
state. vote last time around. So, I mean, that's still lingering over top of them. You mentioned investors. Indianapolis is a city full of wealthy, wealthy, wealthy people.
Yeah, it's got companies. I mean, yeah. It's not like it. You know, it's San Diego is going to find that be a problem. That's what the NFL team mm-hmm. found to be a problem. The Chargers left for a lot of reasons. One of them because when they wanted to have to self-finance the new stadium they wanted because the city wouldn't give it one, there's just not a whole lot of just big Fortune 500 companies that are ready to jump on board and give that corporate money.
Yeah. Speaking of Indianapolis, they did drop their stadium renderings for this great-looking stadium that they're looking to build with San Diego State University, which also questions like how big of a stadium that will actually be. College football stadiums tend to be larger.
Where is this going to be? Is it just going to be at like where Qualcomm sits?
Yeah, exactly. And
so they're going to blow up Qualcomm.
Yep. Level that thing, build up a new stadium for those two teams to share, and leave room potentially for the Chargers to come back should they want to do that. Don't know why.
Or the Raiders. Yeah. Maybe the Raiders will move.
Hey.
Because the Vegas thing completely just fell out.
Oh, did it really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, one of their main money man, like the Goldman Sachs money just, you know, just told it walking.
All right, well, so. Goodbye for that. St. Louis, talking about teams with stadium renderings, they've released theirs. They've been out for a while now. They spent most of the lead up to this basically publicly pining for money.
That's always fun.
Mm-hmm. You see that happening as well in Charlotte.
Charlotte's already kind of got some blowback.
Mm-hmm. Which
so Mecklenburg County, okay with public funding.
Mm-hmm.
City of Charlotte,
not okay. No. Yeah. Not to mention that there was some drama potentially with their bid and the existing USL side, the Charlotte Independents.
Well, it's not affiliated.
Yeah. But not only that, like they may or may not have used their stadium renderings in the bid proposal that they put together for Major League Soccer. Whether or not that's true, you know, that was potentially hearsay, but there are
Charlotte Independents kind of getting run over on this whole situation.
Yeah. Raleigh just trying to get noticed in this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, North Carolina FC trying to get people to pay attention to them.
Listen, I like a lot of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I love their rebrand is good. I think it helps their MLS bid that they are in the NWSL game. I think that does show
a level of commitment.
And a larger plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see a lot of NWSL sides that are part of MLS operations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's good. Again, Malik doesn't have enough money himself. He knows that he's going to go out and have to get a lot more investors.
Yeah.
He's in an area, again, that's ripe with company money.
That's a good point.
He can go get it.
St. Petersburg, I mean Tampa, that's the other town that we've not spent a whole lot of time talking about
Russia for a second.
They literally talked about it the entire time, like the 2 weeks in the lead up to it. That's pretty much all they talked about were – you know, MLS to St. Pete, the meetings they were having all over the city.
Well, they didn't want to mention losing to the, like, Werder Bremen youth team.
No.
In that friendly.
And they had a pretty high extravagance affair of delivering their bid to Major League Soccer. Bill Edwards showed up in New York City and flew off a plane. They gave him boxes full of grass. Really cool looking bid books, to be honest.
I kept looking at this picture going, is that a cake?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's like actual turf?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
So what are they going to do with
it? Don't want to eat that.
Like, they're going to set that in the break room. And people are like, oh, is that cake?
No, dang. It's not cake.
It's not cake. It's turf from not their field.
Gross. This is not even good grass.
And they put a billboard in New York, remember?
Oh, they did. I forgot about that. Right up in Times Square. Interesting. Then you look at the other bids. San Antonio, Nashville, SC Cincinnati, all pretty quiet bidding processes. Everyone just kind of like saying like, hey, we did it. And that was about the extent of it. So it was really interesting. And you try to read through the psychology of like what all those different approaches actually mean.
Mm-hmm.
Details, by the way, about Detroit just coming out today.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you're just like, what does this all mean?
Dan Gilbert wants MLS so bad, he's going to build a jail for the city. I'll build you that jail. Just give me
not
that.
Where you wanted it.
It's not where you want it.
Yeah.
Give me that jail site.
So it will be very interesting. You know, hopefully we'll find out more in the coming months as to what's going to happen with these bids. There's an idea that it's probably going to get parsed down.
What's that going to look like, though? Like, so if you get if they parse down those teams that are not part of the parsing down,
mm-hmm.
are they completely out then for the next two? Like, how does that work?
I don't know. I literally don't know.
You know who also probably doesn't know? I'm going to guess MLS doesn't have this fully vetted of, like, what their strategy is.
And it's easier to leave things ambiguous so that right. if you define it too tightly and
well, and here's the thing. Like, you know, I popped on local airways to kind of chat about this weekend with Ken Brew. Everything's fluid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these bids came in, but, like, literally everybody outside of maybe, like, Sacramento, their whole stadium situation is beyond fluid.
Right.
I mean, renderings haven't been released for most of them. Nothing's gone to even committee in a lot of these cities. St. Louis is hoping to possibly get something on a ballot. That like is like the closest to anything happening as far as that goes. You guys and others have mentioned that more investors are going to be brought in. I mean, there's so much that is going to happen between now and whenever they decide to make this announcement, both good and bad for all these bids.
Yeah.
It's so fluid. There's no reason to even make any kind of prognostication.
We're going to get 2 years of madness is what's going to happen. It's going to be two straight years of madness.
Here's to that.
Let's get out of the MLS bids, talk about a couple other things that happened domestically. NASL schedule is out.
Yeah.
Excited about that?
Yes.
All right.
Did that sound sincere when
you,
I just said
you
that?
You sold me. I thought the one highlight in here, Edmonton, FC Edmonton,
uh-huh.
out there on an island in Canada by themselves, mm-hmm. They will have an 11,000-mile road trip this season.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Good for the players.
Like, what is the closest team to them? San Francisco? I mean, they're way out there.
The proposed Chicago team? Indy 11 might actually be the closest team to them.
Yeah, probably.
Oh my God, it's incredible.
Do they have to go to Puerto Rico?
Yes, they do. One would imagine that 11,000-mile road trip would involve a trip to Puerto Rico.
What a crap fest!
Yeah,
hats off to everyone in NASL. I hope everything works well for you. But my God, you need to get some more clubs in there because you do not have what we like to call in college sports travel partners.
No, not at all. And then lastly, domestically, just want to mention FC Cincinnati getting a nice youth signing in. Victor Mansere.
Do you guys plan on signing anybody outside of attacking options?
No. I think okay. we're just trying to outgun everyone this year.
Like a five-man front there?
Hopefully. We're re-inverting the pyramid this season in Cincinnati. Mansere coming in from Seattle Sounders on loan. He's a under-20 youth international, was the winner last year of the 20 under-20 in the USL.
Yeah.
So quite the prospect. Big signing for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we will get back to you momentarily with your answers to the question of the week. We're going to take a quick break, but while we do that, let us remind you about our cool friends from Tavor.
Tavor is the craft beer pioneer everyone's talking about. This innovative service bridges the gap between craft beer fans and cutting-edge independent breweries all over the country.
Sign up for free and gain daily access to an extensive, highly curated selection of fresh craft beer that you can't find anywhere else and have it delivered right to your door. Join for free by visiting Tavor.com and entering your email address and let the exciting world of craft beer into your life.
And as an added bonus for Wrong Side of the Pond listeners, type in the promo code WRONGSIDE10. It'll get you $10 off your first order of $25 or more.
Cheaper beer.
Before we get to our question of the week, we got to talk about what we are imbibing on.
Yeah, that's right. Our good friends from Tavor sent across another beer for us. This one came in from Schmaltz.
Yep, part of the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Chosen beer. This is the Bittersweet Lenny's RIPA. It's a rye double IPA. It is in honor of, it says here, the Schmaltz tribute to Jewish stars. Leonard, Alfred, Schneider. That's who it's for. Yeah. This is pretty good. This is like, really good. It's got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. But it all melds together pretty nicely.
Nice little rye finish there to it.
That's right.
Good beer. This one's out of New York. Mm-hmm. Schmaltz is kind of split between New York and San Francisco.
Yeah, they have two breweries. It's weird.
So this is from the New York outfit.
That's right.
So let's hit this real quick, though. Tavor, what's it all about? It's about getting beers you can't buy other places.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about this before. We try to do a new beer every show that we drink. It's an excuse for you and I to drink delicious beer we've not had yet.
But it can be difficult because not every area gets every beer. Mm-hmm. Not every place you shop at has deals with everybody. I mean, you're kind of limited to your surroundings.
Yeah, your local Kroger probably has the same, you know, 25 beers that they have most of the year, and you need to get a couple seasonal rotations in. But Tavor gives you an option to get at stuff that you just can't literally get anywhere near you.
Yeah, a lot of West Coast stuff for us Midwesterners that don't get that stuff. A lot of Midwest stuff for the West Coasters that don't get that stuff.
Yeah.
I know our friends at Mad Tree are part of that. So people outside of the Cincinnati, Ohio area that hear us talking about how awesome Mad Tree is, a great brewery here in Cincinnati. Tavor, that's one of their breweries that they work with, and they ship that stuff out. So it's about being able to try beers and not being inhibited by location, by what's selling where. Really good stuff. Obviously, for guys like us, it's all about pumping up those Untappd stats. I know you're closing on 1,000. You're pretty excited about that.
I am.
You do it through this. You only have a finite number of beers that you can go to the store right now and get. Mm-hmm. With Tavor, the options are open. Basically, you sign up. They'll send you emails every day and say, "Hey, here's a beer
that we've got in stock. Do you want it?"
Just tell us if you want some.
And at the end of the month, every beer that you signed up for, they're going to send it to you.
Yeah.
For $15.
Yeah, $15 flat rate. So let's say, you know, hey, maybe this month you knew that for February you were going to want a lot more beer because you were going to maybe host a Super Bowl party or something. Mm-hmm. So you went high. Maybe you had like, you know, 20, 30 beers. Still going to be the same shipping
rate. Same $15 to ship it over to you.
Next month, maybe you don't need as many beers. Mm-hmm. It's all the same. It's all flat rates. You pay only for the beers you want. It's not some crazy beer of the month club where they're just giving you random stuff that you don't even like.
Yeah.
You only buy what you want.
That's right. All right. Well, let's get into this week's question of the week then. You had a good one. Super Bowl just wrapping up.
Yeah. So a weird story coming out post-Super Bowl, and you can actually watch video of the moment that Tom Brady realizes that his game-used jersey, when he won his 5th Super Bowl, making him essentially, statistically, from that standpoint, the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. After he put it in his bag, it went missing.
Oh, dear.
Somebody stole it.
That person,
probably, I would say, a locker room attendant.
Yes, and they're going to make a lot of money off of it.
No, they're not, because how are you going to be able to put – you can't even put that on eBay. Try to put that on eBay, eBay's going to be like, no. You're out of here.
There's always a way to sell stuff.
I don't know. The deep web. Did you hear Anonymous knocked down like 10,000 of their sites? Mm. Deep web's dying.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. You have to go black market, though.
You have to think that's what they're doing. Either that or they've got a personal Tom Brady shrine all to themselves.
Well, we can only hope. Yeah. Obviously, our question out of that is, if you could go back in a time machine and be a locker room attendant and steal a jersey –
any jersey.
Any jersey from any famous moment. Obviously soccer-centric because that's our podcast, but we got some answers that weren't exactly in that vein.
That's right.
What would it be? Do you have one?
I did. I had to think about this one, and okay. I rocked back and forth. The easy one for me, like the childhood memory one that I go to immediately, is the denim kit from the World Cup.
Right.
I would actually even pick from a specific game. I would go for the U.S.-Switzerland game, the U.S. opening game of that World Cup. I was there. My hero, Kobe Jones. I would love the jersey from that. I would swipe that right now if I had the opportunity to. The other one I was on the fence for, Gareth Bale's Taxi for My Cone game at White Hart Lane, Spurs last time in the Champions League. Just a legendary evening. So I'd love to have that shirt as well. So those are my two if I had to pick. How about you?
I think there's a few. Obviously, as a Chelsea fan, you look at maybe the 2005 Lampard jersey from the match where he scores the goal that essentially seals the title.
Ooh, yeah.
There's that one. There is, obviously, got to go Champions League Drogba jersey from the final.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't get better than that for Chelsea. I mean, pretty much the biggest match they were ever in. Outside of that, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe maybe like the Landon Donovan jersey against Algeria.
That'd be a good one.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Maybe just get Jay DeMeritt's bib from when he was sitting there dancing after that goal scored.
You could do that too.
The bib that he was wearing.
Yeah. But we did get lots of different answers. And as you said, quite a few of these were all over the place. The first one that we got was actually one completely unrelated to soccer in any capacity. And it's actually not even a jersey. This came in from Steve Toto. Steve says, the tuba from The Band Is on the Field game.
Yeah? Okay.
It'd be tough to sneak off with that, I would imagine.
That's going
to
be a little harder to discreetly exit, I believe, with the Rose Bowl, I believe, that was played in to slide out of there.
Not only that, but it's also a sousaphone, so those are even bigger than your standard tubas. So, next one that we got in that was not soccer-related, this came from Moonlight Newman. He says Chris Sabo's 1990 Reds World Series jersey.
The jersey, or would you go with the goggles from Sabo?
If you're going for the Sabo, you have to get the goggles too.
Right?
If you are from the Cincinnati area, you'll get this joke. Chris Sabo died for our sins. Next one that came in that was not soccer related. We had a few of these that came through.
Surprising amount.
Yeah. Kellen Griffin says the Jim Craig from the Miracle on Ice game.
I think that literally was up for sale at one point, like in the past couple years. A lot of the Miracle on Ice jerseys and memorabilia have gone up on sale because those guys, it was not very lucrative for them.
No, it was not. It was back before the Olympics were actually a thing.
Yeah.
So that concluded, I think, all of our non-soccer jerseys that we got in. When it came to soccer jerseys, the first one that we actually got came from our good buddy Jason Ridge. He threw out a fire one. This one would be unreal. Diego Maradona's Mexico 86 Hand of God kit. Not only did he score the most infamous goal of all time in that game, the other goal that he scored in that game might quite possibly be the best goal that's ever been scored. The epic twisting, turning, long slaloming run through the England defense to score. So that is a fantastic call out there from Jason. TJ Zaremba, a longtime participant in podcast questions. He says, John Brooks from the Costa Rica game. It was really never used, so it would be new.
Well, there you go.
Little angel
emoji
there. Matt from the UbSub pod down in Tampa. He says, this might only be relevant or famous to Tampa Bay Rowdy fans, but the Jeff Atanella jersey from the 2012 Soccer Bowl PK shootouts. He provided the link. Go watch the video. It's definitely worth taking a look at. Speaking of shootout victories, Pete Wheatmartian here in Cincinnati, he dropped in Brandi Chastain's jersey from the shootout win in 1999.
You go jersey over...
Over the sports bra.
What's more iconic in that photo?
Definitely, not the jersey. Definitely the sports bra, but you seem like a creep if you go for the bra.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Like if you had a framed sports bra, like in like your living room.
Yeah.
It's a conversation piece. It certainly is that.
Hey, what's with the framed bra?
Oh, let me tell you about that.
Yeah.
It was 1999.
Right as Prince predicted. Gage Magoto, he threw in his weekly answer, 1958 Pele World Cup final jersey. That wouldn't be too shabby to hang on to.
No.
Charlie Hatch, former intern.
Didn't go Norwich on this one. I was
didn't thinking. Go Norwich on that. Charlie topped out Luis Hernandez, 2001 MLS Cup final, playing for the LA Galaxy when he hugged his dad in a Mexico jersey. That or the Bob Marley and the Santos tour jacket.
What is he saying? He hugged his dad? Like Charlie hugged his dad?
The guy. Because
his dad likes to wear Mexico
jerseys. Yeah, well, his dad got the hug. Oh, and okay. It was Luis Hernandez, who is also a Mexico player. So,
I thought you were saying Charlie's dad was wearing the Mexico jersey.
He was.
Charlie's dad does support him.
He was. And he was the one who got hugged.
Oh, that's unreal. And yeah. How does he have a photo of this? From a different part of the stadium.
It's definitely from the television.
Like, does he just have this saved on, like, a laser disc or something?
Probably. It's probably saved onto his phone in the undeletable portion of the partition. Jeff Tebbets threw out one from Shinsuke Nakamura, the famous Japanese player, while he's playing for Celtic in 2006-2007.
Not too shabby.
Also know that Jeff's a Japanese translator, so a little bit of Italian.
Well, there you go.
Kellen Griffin, we'd already mentioned his. Yeah, so I think those were – did you have any of the other ones? Were there any other that you had replied to you?
No. No, I think you hit them all.
All right.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I feel like there's just so many iconic kids out there.
Loads of them. I thought about Zinedine Zidane's Real Madrid jersey from the volley that he hit against Bayern Leverkusen. You know, that would be one that I would love to get my hands on. You know, Raul Gonzalez from Real Madrid, that's another one. It'd be really cool to have, you know, one of his jerseys from one of the numerous Champions League finals he's played in. I think this is one of those things where if you have a jersey you like, it's always tied to some sentimental feeling.
Right.
That, like, that's why I would want that.
And, you know, the interesting thing is nowadays, a lot of these big events, they're actually branding the jerseys with the date of the event now. Mm-hmm. For when these players take the field, you see, like, right in the center of the chest, it'll say, like, you know, Champions League Final 2017.
Yeah.
Blah versus blah in this stadium.
Kind of makes it a little bit easier to authenticate.
Yeah.
So
helps that out.
Yeah. So some great jerseys in there. Thanks for sharing all of those. Hopefully you guys will participate in the question of the week next week as well, presuming that we actually have one. Before we get into winners and wankers, we have to real quickly hit on a conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah.
A conspiracy theory unfolded today.
Mm-hmm.
Today.
A lot of our boys over at Cincinnati Soccer Talk kind of were definitely chirping about this all weekend.
Yeah. Really started last night, about midnight, after the Super Bowl had wrapped up.
That's news dump territory.
That's right. USL Goal of the Year voting. Obviously, FC Cincinnati was one of the heavily stocked teams in that competition.
Well, considering one of the half of the quarterfinal was all FC Cincinnati goals.
Yeah. I mean, we had five of the original 16 teams that were 16 goals that were in there. That's what happens when you let month of the winner or goal of the month winners in, and the first 5 months FC Cincinnati swept the competition. So ultimately what ended up happening is there was an all FC Cincinnati semifinal and then one against FC Montreal's now a defunct team, actually even a team anymore, facing up against Sean Accoli's excellent SportsCenter top 10 volley that opened up Nippert Stadium.
The scissor.
Yeah. Great goal.
Yeah, we had him on here and talked about it anyway.
Healthy lead after the Super Bowl, up about 8% of points. Around midnight, about 100 votes to 120 votes an hour started pouring in.
120 votes an hour at midnight and beyond.
For a team
that doesn't exist
anymore.
The
parent team not saying anything about it.
Right, so they're not pushing this out to their fans.
USL not reminding people to vote for it. Just seems weird. The hour, the time, when it happened. Oh, by the way, this is 9 hours before the deadline for it.
Right, it was closing this morning.
Accoli was up by roughly 400 to 500 votes when I went to bed. He was down by about 1,000 when I woke up.
Seems legit. Everything pans out for me,
yeah.
DJ. I don't know about you.
We then started an immediate blitz, started about 7:30 this morning, trying to get people to go out and vote. One would presume a healthy number came through, and I'm going to tell you it was roughly in the neighborhood of about 800 votes. The percentage only changed one percentage point, which means that there were still an equal number of votes coming in, again, for the team that doesn't exist,
not pushing anything
out. There was definitely a bot in there, definitely. And I know this is stupid fan voting goal of the year nonsense. It's dumb. I shouldn't be angry about this. But it does kind of go to show, like, do you really need to write a bot for a fan voting competition?
Now, are you on full conspiracy theory on this? Do you think it was a setup?
Oh, no. I don't think it's that bad.
I just think it was some FC Cincinnati hating fan out there that said, watch this.
Yeah.
Hold my beer.
I think that's pretty much exactly it. Somewhere in a DM or some private forum that we can't look at, there are some people having a hefty laugh about this entire situation. I did, of course, reach out to the league, kind of let them know. They were not unaware of the situation. Kind of just said, hey, we'd like to not see this happen in the final where we do have another player facing up against the same guy that doesn't have a team anymore. And, well, the parent club isn't doing anything about it. So it'd be really interesting to see if this all happens again. It's definitely an FC Cincinnati versus the league thing. Everyone kind of wants to get us done here, and that's why the bot exists in the first place. So, hey, if you're an FC Cincinnati fan, let's not make our own bot. Let's just not
Was that lobbied out there?
I said it publicly.
Did somebody offer?
Make the bot.
Yeah, there were some offers, and I kind of just said, hey, don't. So there's your conspiracy theory of the week, which allows us to do winners and wankers. Why don't we start with your wanker?
My wanker?
Mm-hmm.
My wanker would have to be Gary Monk.
Ooh.
Went like super butthurt after the Huddersfield Town Leeds United match. He lost his mind and tried to fight everybody.
Ooh. Like literally fight?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Started a bench clearing brawl. It was just a little unexpected from a manager that we both love and has never really shown himself to be, a bit of a red ass.
Everyone loses their mind every once in a while, you know? My wanker this week, I'm going with Real Madrid. We're going to go ahead and give it to them. The Spanish, Champions League winners right now. Over the weekend, they had to face Celta Vigo, or they were set to face Celta Vigo, and the game was ultimately called off due to extremely high winds in the Galicia area. Winds of sustained levels of 86 miles per hour. That's like tornado.
Wowzers.
Blew off portions of the roof of Celta Vigo's Estadio Balaidos. The Spanish FA tried to fly down to like evaluate the situation, and their flight was diverted. It couldn't even land in Vigo at all because of how high the winds were.
Should they not have seen that coming?
Maybe.
They were coming down to check currently created wind damage.
The reason for that, though, is because Madrid were trying to force the game to happen. Despite 86 mile per hour winds, despite the protestation and planes not being able to land, they wanted to do this simply so they didn't have to worry about fixture congestion later on in the season.
We don't want that.
Oh, poor Madrid and their billion-dollar constructed club. So there's my wanker. Your winner.
My winner? Well, we got to go honorary winner. That would have to be Super Frank himself, retiring from the game this week.
I also gave it to Frank.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's my honorary winner.
Okay, you had a regular winner.
I had a regular winner because I just couldn't pass up this story. What do you do when you win a big match against a rival 3-1? What do you do?
Celebrate?
How do you celebrate?
I don't know.
Let me answer that for you. You fly to New York that night and go to a Knicks game. And then the next day, you fly to Houston and go to the Super Bowl. That's what Thibaut Courtois did.
Awesome.
Like, literally, probably left Stamford Bridge, went straight to Heathrow, flew to New York, saw the Knicks that night, Saturday night, when I was at a Knicks game. And then Sunday morning, flew to Houston, hung out, and went to the Super Bowl.
What a winner.
And I guess flew back, this morning.
What a life.
A charmed one.
What a life. It's nice when you can fly on those amazing planes that have beds for you.
This is what he does. Like, anytime there's just a sliver of free time in the Premier League season,
he flies
to America to watch an NBA game.
Hey, he's a basketball fan.
He picked the Knicks. They suck.
Well, hey,
pick a good team. Like, go. I mean, at least you watch the Knicks playing the Cavs. At least you saw at least one good team.
Okay, that works. My winner this week, I mentioned Frank Lampard. You have to give it to him.
My hero.
Yeah, he is your hero.
Literally the first soccer star I ever fell in love with. I'm just like, wow.
211 goals makes him the all-time leader for Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
177 goals in the league makes him fourth all-time. He is the only midfielder in the top 15,
yeah,
by the way. Midfielder, fourth all-time in Premier League scoring. So, cheers to Super Frank. Awesome career. Glad he's taking the opportunity to hang it up, and we'll see where he lands next.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, I would imagine the general route is you go start taking some coaching courses through UEFA or something.
Just a matter of time, you would imagine. Just a matter of time. That gets us to the end of this week's podcast. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, questions you want us to ask other people even.
Please forward any people that write us a concern.
Yeah.
Because I got to read that.
Every once in a while we get them.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. It's usually promotion relegation related. You can get at us. Contact at wrongsideofthepond.com via email. Jeremy at Jeremy Lance. Myself at wrongsideofpond on Twitter too. It's been fun, kids.
Once again, before we leave, we want to give a quick shout-out to our friends at Tavor.
Tavor is the craft beer pioneer that everyone's talking about. The innovative service helps independent craft breweries connect with thirsty craft beer fans from all across the country. Every day, you'll learn about fresh, dynamic beers that you can't find anywhere else.
You'll discover the beer's story, history, all sorts of entertaining trivia-based tidbits that will turn you into a beer connoisseur in no time. Join Tavor for free by visiting Tavor.com and entering your email address. When your monthly shipment of beers arrive right at your doorstep, you'll turn your home into the best tap room around.
And as a listener of Wrong Side of the Pond, you'll be able to save $10 on your first order of $25 or more. All you have to do is make sure you use the code WRONGSIDE10 when you're checking out.